Hey there, Mike Stelzner coming to you with a fascinating update you might not be familiar with. Did you know that Social Media Examiner can deliver all the marketing training, news, and trends, insights that you need into your inbox 3 days a week when you sign up for our newsletter, and it's completely free? Simply visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates and take your marketing to the next level.
Welcome to the Marketing Agency Show, where we explore solutions to the biggest challenges faced by agencies.
Hey, y'all. Thank you so much for joining me for the Marketing Agency Show, brought to you by Social Media Examiner. I'm your host, Brooke Sellis, and this is the show for agency owners and agency marketers. We explore the topics that no one else is talking about, so pull up the seat to the table and let's have a great conversation. Today, I'll be joined by Sarah Scott, who does a lot of personal branding management for agency owners. Also, if you're new to this podcast, be sure to follow this show so you don't miss any of our future content. Let's transition over to this week's guest, Sarah.
To help explore the frontier of working at and growing agencies, here is this week's expert guide.
Hey, everyone. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Sarah Scott. If you don't know Sarah, she's the founder of Sarah Scott Studios. It's a full service podcast management studio that helps businesses get the most out of their podcasting efforts. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, it's so good to chat with you. So backstory, Sarah and I actually met last year at Social Media Marketing World and became fast friends. And you work with a lot of names that also work with Social Media Examiner and Social Media Marketing World. Andrea Vall. Who else? I know there's other names in there.
Christine Gritman, I know, I think has been around as well. Who else am I working with these days? I've been on Doreen's podcast.
Yes. Another familiar face.
Nobody else in the studio yet, but hopefully we'll be getting some more. But yeah, those are my friends I listen to every week.
They are your friends, but they're also your clients. And I think that the topic today is an interesting one, which is how do you, as the agency owner, become the face of your brand? Should you be the face of your brand? What are the implications of being the face of your brand? And it's hard. We're going to get into all of it, the good, bad, and the ugly. But first, questions always first. Why do this? Why did you decide to go out on your own?
Because I got really tired of everybody telling me that I was any good or not any good, I guess. So coming out of corporate, I spent 14 years in corporate doing vast and variety of things, mostly actually marketing without knowing I was doing marketing. Like there was no specific title for that. And then after I got out of that, I had my third child. I was trying to find a job to go back into the market with, and I just was getting silently ghosted by everybody in the world. And I finally got tired of everybody telling me what I could and couldn't do and said, now I'm just going to do what I want to do and do it for myself. And that's where the agency idea kind of started.
Yeah, I love it. We know who some of your clients are because we just talked about them. But like, how did you end up working with these people and what kind of clients do you serve?
So it's been a journey, I suppose you could say, in terms of my agency. It started more from a social media perspective where I was serving local clients and doing some marketing and things like that. And then through like a series of, I don't know, serendipitous moments, I guess, I ended up applying for a job with Amanda Robinson, who is a Facebook ads person. And she and I got along great, had a wonderful conversation with each other. And she ended up hiring somebody else for the role. But then she saw that Andrea was actually looking for a marketing VA at the same time. And so she recommended me to Andrea. And kind of the rest is history from there. So it kind of rolled into doing marketing work for Andrea and for her company. And about a year and a half or so ago, Andrea sort of said, all right, I need to do something different with my time. Like I just want a different outlet to creating content than just being Facebook ads all the time. And she's like, have you ever done anything with podcasting? And no. And she says, well, do you want to learn? Why not? So her and I kind of rolled into learning how to do this together. So she kicked off the Late Starters Club about a year and a half ago, and we're now 174 episodes into that show in less than a year and a half. And as it sort of rolled along from there, I just started picking up other people where We work with clients who really, more of the clients that I have business-based podcasts. So this is their way of creating content for their business. It's how they usually do top of the funnel strategy, is their discovery process. And what we will do is not just produce the episodes in terms of cleaning up the audio, cleaning up everything, creating all of the assets for the show itself, but then we'll also take that and how do we turn that into social content? So how do we create reels from that? How do we create engaging graphics? What else can we do to help engage the audience? Are we doing email lists? All that kind of stuff that we roll into it so that they're getting the most out of the podcast. It's not just recording it, putting it out on Apple, and then just sort of letting it sit there to see whether or not anybody actually finds it.
Yes, that's so key, right? If you don't have a content distribution plan, I mean, we put so much time, energy, resources into the content. And then we're like, we hit the publish button and we're like, where are all the people?
Right. We kind of like, where'd they all go? And it's not as easy as some of the gurus out there would like it to seem. You do have to work it, and it has to be a workable strategy. And it's a lot of work. And for somebody else running a whole other business, you don't have time to put in the hours worth of work it takes to decipher through a single episode of the podcast. And I always find, too, that it's just really good to have somebody else that you can bounce ideas off of. So for most of my clients, that's what we do. It's not just that production piece of it, but it's also this, well, what's working? What's not working? What can we try differently? Where can we go from here? How can I engage better? And we have all of these conversations together, and I can bring in all of the experience from other podcasters to share with them as part of that strategy. So that helps out, I think, a lot as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And shout out to Lisa and Duncan, because even though I host this show, like you said, I get to like hand off the files and I don't have to do like the production, the nitty gritty. I wouldn't know how. So thank you, Lisa. And thank you, Duncan, for everything that you do. So let's talk about becoming the face of your brand. So backstory for me, I'm in a mastermind, which I've mentioned on other shows, with Andy Crestidina, Rich Brooks, and Ron Callis. And it might have been a year and a half, a couple of years ago, where I was kind of having this quandary about being the face of B Squared Media. I really didn't want to do it because, you know, as a person, our time is finite and I can't sit on every client call. I can't strategize for every single client, right? Because I'm the sales team, I'm the marketing team, right? I have all these other things I have to do.
You're the everything.
Yeah. So they really pushed me to start becoming the face of my own brand, which took a lot of pushing and prodding, I might add. But what do you see as, because you're working with these people too, what are some of the signs that you see that agency owners who are listening or watching should look out for when it comes to like, hey, I am or I should be the face of my brand?
I think if you are labeling yourself as like CEO or founder, I think you've already given yourself the sign that that's what you need to be doing. You know, at the end of the day, the old adage is true. People do business with people, right? And we need to know that there's a face behind the brand, even if it's not necessarily going to be the face that you're going to work with long term. We need to know that the driving force behind the things that we do is there. And it's not just some group of people that are hiding out behind a bunch of computers somewhere plotting to take over the world and we know nothing about it. I think that we really need to be able to connect with people on a different level. And in the B2B space, I really think that that becomes something we have to force ourselves to do, especially like in that mid-size range. Like when you're the huge corporations, like, you know, I think of like the PwCs and the Deloittes and all of these big, big consulting firms. It's hard to put one face, but even they put a single face. There is still somebody publicly ahead of those companies who, if you were to say, oh yeah, I need to go there, we find them. So what makes our companies any different than those companies where they have at least found one person, even though you'll never work with them, you will never work with them. But you can say, oh yeah, if I see his face pop up in the media or I see his face pop up somewhere, I probably know where he's connected to. And we need to be able to do the same.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I also think, you know, with AI, right? Woo, we said the word.
Algorithms, pick it up.
It's like everywhere. Yeah, I'm going to age myself, but it's like Pee-wee's Playhouse. And like every time we say AI, everybody needs to go, woo, because we said the word of the day. That's how I feel. But my friend, Christopher Penn, and his co-founder, Katie Robert, also my friend, go listen to their episodes on AI, by the way. They're so good. But I also think with AI now, being the face of your brand, when you are our size, right? The smaller or the medium sized agencies, you have to get your face out there because AI.
Yeah. You have to prove it's you.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Because it's too easy to create. It's way too easy to fake it now. And we have to say, no, this is really me. And this is really what this looks like. And this is what I sound like. And these are my thoughts and my ideas. They're not generated from something else, somebody else's thoughts. Yeah, it's the machine's not telling me what to say, or worse yet, saying it for me, because all of it's possible, right? It's scary what we can do today with the AI. And in some ways, don't get me wrong, it's extraordinarily helpful. We use it in the agency all the time to help us spark ideas, to help us to look for different thoughts that, you know, when your creative streak is just a little bit low, it just gives the ideas, but it can go so much further and it can be so much more damaging. And if you're not out there as the face of your brand and putting your ideas out there, then it's just too easy for somebody else to convince people that they're you. And it's not, you know, and it's, how do you dispute that if you actually haven't been out there doing that?
That's such a great point. And, you know, one of the things I've started noticing, which brings me into my next question. One of the things I've started noticing is on newsletters, the faces of these brands or these companies are saying this content was 100% generated by me, right? Which leads me to a question of, if you're an agency owner in your personal brand, obviously, probably, right? I say obviously, probably, most likely it's that personal brand of yours is going to align with that of the company. But how do you make sure that the personal brand aligns with the messages and the values of the agency, even though it's personal?
At our level, I have to say, I think that's really hard to segment, right? Because whether we like it or not, we are our brands. We started our companies. We're the ones who are putting our time, sweat, tears, everything into that. So I think automatically we're aligned with what our agencies were doing. But if you are looking at it a little bit differently too, like I would look at this more of, how do you make sure the people who are working with you have your values and such aligned with what your agency does? Because I think as founders, it's easy. We know our values, we know what we do. And I think we project those into our companies and into our own personal brands fairly naturally. But I'd be more concerned about, what about anybody else that's talking about your company or is working for your company and is out there? And how do you making sure more along the lines that their values are aligned with what you need them to be for your brand?
Yeah. Have you ever had a situation where, you know, you're working with somebody and maybe that message doesn't quite fit, where you've had to be like, hey, Brooke, listen, love what you put together here, but I feel like it's a little off from how we normally do things?
Yeah. I mean, we've done that, but I've had a couple of clients where we've had to kind of take a step back and look at things and say, well, what's going, you know, I've had to take that step back and say, well, what's going on here? Because this doesn't feel like you. It doesn't feel like your normal messaging, or it straight up doesn't sound like your normal messaging. And to see like what's really going on there, what was happening, what was really going on. And it's really interesting from, at least from a podcasting perspective, because often when I've seen that, it's in the interviews. It's not usually in solo shows. It's in interviews when somebody is interviewing somebody else and that other person doesn't necessarily align well with the values of the host of the show. But a lot of times I see hosts give up their power in terms of like, it's your show. It's what you need to do. It's what you're leading. But they take a back seat to the guest, giving the guest all the power. And what happens with that is then if they don't align, if the messaging doesn't work, I can feel that from the host. I can feel absolutely them withdraw. I can feel that they're not as engaged with it and they're not as engaged with the content. But for whatever reason, they want to like make sure that this guest has the best time of it, even though they really don't like them. And I think that's where I've seen it.
Yeah. Stay away from people you don't like. It makes it really hard for personal branding.
It does. I mean, and in the long run, what happens with stuff like that too is like, you don't want to promote that episode. You're like, all right, I'm going to put it in the library. I did the work. I told them I was going to, I don't want to have the awkward conversation of telling somebody that we recorded a podcast that's not going to go out. But in the long run, you do have to question that along your values. Like, if this is not messaging that you want to have out there about you and your brand, then why are we doing this in the first place? And those are hard questions because, again, no matter what you do at the end of the day, with podcasters, especially, I have to constantly remind them that even if you're the host of the show, you are still the star of the show. They're coming because they want to hear you have that conversation with that person. It's not because I'm not a bigwig, but like if you were having, for example, like let's go with Mike Stelzner. You will get some people who will come because they want to hear Mike Stelzner, but your audience is coming because they want to hear you interview Mike Stelzner.
Interesting.
They want to hear your thoughts on that. It's you that they're following. Your guests are kind of the, you know, they're the person having the conversation with you, but you as the host are the reason they come back week after week after week. It's not the guest because your guests are never consistent. You are what is consistent. So you need to make sure that you are showing up as your full authentic self when you are doing this. Even if you are just, I'm just interviewing or I'm just asking questions. It's more than that. It's so much more than that to your audience.
Deep thoughts by Sarah Scott. No, but it's so funny that you say that though, because I literally tell people, like if you've been on the show and you are now a fan, thank you, by the way, you've heard me say this to you. Like we just did this, Sarah, the housekeeping. And I'm like, and you're going to be taking the bigger part of the screen for most of the show because you're the star of the show. See, I say the guest is the star of the show and that's how I view it. But now you're making me be like, oh, you're making me think, which I like. So let's think about, let's do some thinking on other things.
Let's do thinking.
I like to think. We talked about visibility, right? Content distribution earlier, which is a fancy way of saying like, hey, are people actually seeing these things that you're creating as the face of your brand? So what strategies do you employ with your clients to, you know, gain visibility for them and then start to get in from that top of the funnel to like recognizing like those people who are the face of the brands and those agencies and then, you know, moving down funnel? What does that look like?
One of the things I do coach clients with, especially those who do a lot of interview podcasts, is I encourage them to consider doing a second podcast every week, which I know can be a lot of work, but I always encourage it to be a solo show. And what that looks like is, and I think it's John Lee Dumas, Entrepreneurs on Fire. I can never remember.
Oh, yes.
John Dumas, right?
Regardless.
I think that's it. Sorry, team. So AI, my voice in to get the right name. And anyway, so he recommends a similar strategy of more of basically more content from a podcast perspective. But what I tell my clients is if you're going to go in and do an interview style, let's just say we do this interview. We're doing this interview today. What I would say is go in and do another 10-minute episode, just you and your thoughts, your takeaways from what you got out of this episode. Because again, remember, your people are following you. They want to know your thoughts, your takeaways, what you think about this. So after having a guest on, you're not spending a lot of time giving your insights or your opinions, right? Throughout most of these interviews. So one of the things I will tell them is step aside, do a 10-minute solo episode that says, hey, look, here's what I heard when I was talking with Sarah about this. And here's what I think I might want to try to do differently going forward. So let's try this together. And what happens with that, and I've got podcasters that do this in a variety of different ways. It's not always a solo episode. I have one client, Crystal Volkaitis. She does Rooted in Retail. Fabulous show. Her and I recently, she's been like, I want to connect more with my listeners. How can we do this? So we started doing a live show later on in the week. So she does a after the show live in a Facebook group of the fans of the show. And we go back through and she talks about her takeaways. She talks about, she goes deeper on the topics. And what this does is it starts to put her face out there as the face of her brand, but it also starts to help people understand how brilliant she really is around local marketing. And she's giving her ideas and her insights all based on the topic that was in the original podcast. But Agile gives her audience a chance to ask her questions, to go deeper into the episode, to listen into her thoughts. And it starts to bring people into that funnel. And it says, okay, she did a great interview with XYZ, but now I get to hear what Crystal really thinks about this. Okay, now that Crystal's thinking this, now she can tell them, hey, look, get into this thing. Let's do this would be a good next step. And that can be a product, a service, could even be an opt-in into her email, whatever that happens to be. But it's a natural next step as you're pulling people down into that funnel.
Yeah. You know, as you were saying that, I was thinking about, everybody knows, I think if you've been following me for any amount of time, you know that I'm a huge Bravo fan. And Jeff Lewis used to have this show on Bravo, which he doesn't have anymore, called Flipping Out. And now he has his own podcast show. But they just started an after the show where they literally talk about the guests that they had. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is someone who's getting paid by, you know, Amazon or Spotify or whoever sponsors him to do this giant show. And this is what they're doing. So you're talking about something that obviously makes sense as a solid strategy. So that's really cool.
Did you know that we can deliver awesome marketing info directly into your inbox? Simply subscribe to our weekly newsletter that comes out 3 days a week. You won't miss any of the updates going on in the world of social marketing. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates.
What do you think about maintaining authenticity? So we've had this conversation a lot because you feel like you have to have this professional image, right? Again, we're gonna go there. We're just going to go there, people.
Let's go there.
But like we were talking about the struggles of, I can't just jump on this interview with you or any interview or any video that I do for that matter and not think about my hair, my makeup, what I'm wearing, my professional image. Yeah, they're put together. But really, and you know this, like, in the real world, I love not wearing makeup. My hair is usually piled on top of my head and I'm really goofy. So like, what's the balance there?
You know, I think you have to find that balance yourself in terms of what that looks like, but it has to be a balance. You can't be all one. You can't just all be the professional side anymore because it's not what people connect
to. It's boring.
You know what? It's not what people do. What was the post you put out the other day that, like, I swear to God, everybody's been commenting? It was just yesterday, wasn't it?
If your occupation or profession was blank, you'd be a world champion. And mine was overthinking.
And literally, I don't think anybody said anything professional in that. We all had like, I'm a daydreamer. I'm an overthinker. I'm a talker. There was all these things like it was, but look how much engagement that post got you.
Yeah.
And that had nothing to do with anything professional. We have to find that balance as the face of brands of showing our expertise and what we know and what we do and how brilliant we are while also showing that we are human beings and people. And I also find that there's a third line that I have to put in there too, because I'm very protective of my family, especially my kids. So with the world of everything, like I'm very protective of where my kids are seen. I'll talk about them in the generalities, but I often don't use their names. I often don't show their images. So there's sort of that, like, how do I still make that feel personable without it feeling like I'm making it up because I don't necessarily show them as much? But there's that balance for me as well from where I want that to be. But we have to be human. We really, like, again, in a world of AI, we have to show people who we really are. And we need to show those quirky personalities because that's what makes you different than somebody else, right? Like we all can offer similar services. You know, I'm not the only podcast manager out there in the world. I'm definitely not the only one with a service around doing this, but you might want to work with me because, you know, I'm a little bit more goofy or because you've seen me sing on stage at Social Media Marketing World for whatever random thing I get to do. Like, that kind of thing might draw you to me where it might repel other people. But if I don't show that side of me, then you're not really seeing who I am and what I can do. And there's a balance. And I think we just need to find what's right for us and what's most comfortable. But we do still have to be able to share who we are out with the world in some capacity, because people are going to engage more with the personal than they were going to engage with the business.
Yeah. I mean, it's people, like you said, people engage with people, not brands, but there are challenges, right, that come with being the face of your agency. And I think, you know, we're going to get a little one-sided here only because I think it needs to be said that, like what I mentioned earlier, what you and I have talked about personally, what I've talked about with my LinkedIn community, right? I mean, I've been open in all kinds of places, so this shouldn't be new if you're following me at all. But like when you're the face of your brand, a challenge that I have is the like looking perfect, saying everything perfectly,
yeah.
Not flubbing over my words, not saying I love that, which by the way, I say way too much in every episode. But like, how do you tackle those challenges? Or do you try to flip the script and not see them as challenges?
I try to look at them in the best light possible. Like, if that is truly how you feel, and it's how I feel too. Like, let's be honest here, folks. I am not going to flip on a camera and be like, hey, I got to go here today. My mother loves to laugh at me because she's been asking me to send her pictures. She's got this like video thing now that I can send pictures right to the frame. She's like, oh, you always take such cute pictures for your social media. And I'm like, that's usually after an interview, after I've dolled myself after all the makeup is on.
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, I feel that too. Like, I don't want to be put out there and I don't want to have the flaws and I don't want to. And I think that one of the things we have to do is just leverage that to our best advantage. Like, if that's really how you're going to feel, I'm not going to convince you to get on without your makeup. Like, there's nothing I'm going to do about that. But what I often hear people do, and it's in my head as well, when I'm creating some of like the video or content that I'm going to be seen in, is then how do I take advantage of the fact that I did spend this time getting all dolled up for you?
Yes.
You know, I spent all this time putting on my makeup. I did this, I did that. We've already played with my lighting. We've got this working the way we want it to work. How do I then take advantage of the time that I've done this and use that? So that's when I go through and you say, okay, let me create X number of it. Even if it means I have to change my shirt.
Yes.
Because I want it to look like it's a different day. Don't lie, guys. You've all done it.
I do it all the time.
You change your shirt because it looks a little different, or you change an accessory so that it looks like a different day. Fine. Do it. Take advantage of it and say, okay, great. I'm being interviewed today for this. I want to look good. I'm going to do my stuff. Take advantage of your hairdresser days. If you're going to go to the hairdresser and the, she's going to doll up your hair and you love it, like,
oh yeah,
block out a few hours, make some content from it, leverage it. Like, don't shame yourself over the fact that you feel like you can't just flip on the camera. Hey, for those of you that can, and if you've got tips for the rest of us for like how to get over it, please share comments. We'd love to hear this. But I just think you have to take advantage of and not shame yourself over feeling that way. I think we just have to say, okay, this is how we feel. And this is how we feel we show up in the best light to the world, and use that to our advantage. Because here's the truth. At the end of the day, that's what's going to make you feel the best. And it's going to make your content feel that way. Because remember, we can feel through everything we do. Your audience can feel it. We can feel it. We know whether or not we are truly engaged in that. And if for any reason you're feeling bad about yourself, that comes across as a lack of confidence in your content, and it's just not going to do you any good.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I'm going to take this vest off for the next recording, which I also have today, and just be wearing this turtleneck. Same face. So now you know. But you got to batch. I mean, I agree with that. Like, if I'm going to take the time to put on the makeup, which I don't normally do, and I'm going to take the time to do the hair, which I don't normally do, you better believe I'm going to be bashing as much content as I can.
Yeah.
So speaking of content again, what types of content do you find most effective for establishing and promoting you or your client's personal brand in conjunction with the agency?
What works best comes down to audience every single time. I could tell you to do reels and shorts and videos, but if your audience doesn't engage with that, then there's nothing you can do. But mix it up, see what works. Take a personal post. And guys, it doesn't always have to be your face either, I don't think. I think you can show, like, for example, my kids and I have set up a bird feeder out front, and we've been fascinated watching the birds this winter out on our front porch. Clip that, talk about that. Like, I was just telling you before we got on here, I had this nightmare experience with a plumber, and I use that as a post on LinkedIn. You know, to say, okay, this was the experience. Here's what I took from it. Here's what I think you can take from it. You know, those kinds of things work just as well without your face. And it will promote not just your brand in the long run, because again, you are connected to your brand, but it just shows all of the sides of you and shows how you think and how you can approach different things and try out different content. Try out and see, does that type of thing work for you? If not, try some carousel posts or static posts or question posts. See what works and then do more. I mean, it's not an outlandish strategy. It's what every marketer is going to tell you to do, but you got to try. I think that's the biggest thing. You got to try. Most of us, I think, on the personal branding side is, and I know this is at least for me, here's my mental capacity with all of this and why I find myself holding back most of the time from doing almost anything that puts me out there as almost anything, is I get in my head like, oh, I'm going to put it out there and the whole internet is going to see it. And I truly somehow believe in the back of my head, like millions of people are going to see this post and I am going to be like heckled and everybody's going to call me out. Guys, look, algorithms tell us this is not true. But like in the back of my head, that is the roadblock, is like, I'm going to put this thing out there and the whole world is going to see it. And that's what scares me the most. Whether it should or shouldn't, it scares me the most. And so it's just taking those little actions and saying, okay, I'm going to post this thing. I'm going to post that thing. And just making sure I'm continuously getting my thoughts out there, because your thoughts are just as important as your face. Putting your brand out there, we always think you got to put your face. And we think literal face. It's as much as your thoughts as it is your actual face.
God, I love that. That's so good. Yes. And I would like to add, this process is challenging. Like, if you do follow me, you know that I, this year, released Brook Bites, which is how I've learned after literally 2 years, y'all. 2 years this has been on my list to do. I just finally did it this year. But I realized, people want to see my face. They want to hear what I have to say. I actually have something good to say about what I do.
Of course you do.
So I took the, you know, the posts and the videos that I do like occasionally here and there and this stuff. And I kind of mash it together and finally did this thing. And the results have been amazing. And now I'm kicking myself
for not having done it for so long.
Why didn't you wait 2 years to do this? Imagine where you'd be now. With Brooke content and B-Square content mushed together, like the both pieces of this personal brand and the brand. Imagine where you'd be now if you hadn't waited 2 years.
Well, don't hang up on the regret. And the other thing I would say for anybody that's listening and says, oh, I feel like I'm in the same place. Don't get hung up on the tech. I feel like tech hands people up so much more even than content. Like, you can sit there and go through and say, I've got a million ideas. I can pull up all this. This is what I would talk about. Then all of a sudden it comes to like, oh, what do I do with the tech? Don't let the tech hang you up. Like, find a path, pick one, try it out, test with it. It's going to be a disaster at first. Just accept it. And then once you get moving with it, then you'll get better and better the more you do.
Let's talk about tech for a second, because this is very important. And another side story. This is what happens when you do have people you align with on your show. You just love them so much, like a conversation. So Sarah, I decided to use Descript, the tool that you mentioned earlier. We will link that in the show notes, by the way. So if you are looking for a tool that can help you, it is really amazing. And I say that as someone, as I mentioned earlier, I get to hand these files off because I am not a techie person. But Sarah uses Descript. I've heard so many people recommend it. You've heard other people on this show recommend it. Sarah got on the computer with me for an hour and a half and showed me how to better use Descript and would not let me pay her for her time.
No, of course not.
Side story. But like, what other tools are you using? So like Descript, again, we'll put this in the show notes, which is an amazing tool. But what other tools are in your tech stack for this?
So in our tech stack, so your recording tool, I think, is absolutely essential. Like, what are you going to use? Whether you use StreamYard, Riverside, Ecamm, kind of avoid Zoom a little bit only because the quality tends to be a little bit off. But if that's what you got, use it. I like those for a vast and variety of reasons, different variety of things that I love. But your recording tool, be comfortable with it. Whatever that means, just be comfortable with it. I mean, you could always, again, advance as you go. Descript is probably the foundation of everything that we do. Because we can do so much in it. I can add in B-roll. I can add in audio clips. I can add multiple files. Like, we can do so much with that to create really amazing pieces that are not just audio driven, but are also visually driven. So even if, like, say you don't want to put your face out there, you just want to do an audio piece of that, do that and then use Descript to like add in all of your B-roll that you want to use, because that's amazing. The other thing, Canva. Absolutely. We use Canva for just about anything and everything else, creating reel covers, creating graphics, creating show graphics, all of those kinds of things. And I know I keep going back to Descript because I used to use additional tools for some of the AI, and Descript has recently gotten into doing so much with the AI work so that you can actually do really cool stuff, not just like looking at taking out filler words, which has always been one of its claims to fame, but it will then also go through, it will create and give you an idea for show notes. It will give you an idea for what it thinks are the good clips out of anything. So if you are trying to create reels from long form content, go through and do that. I can scream it from the rooftop. It is such an amazing tool. And if you ever have any questions, like, just drop me a question if you're struggling with the tech, because I mean, I love helping people with it. Most people who know how to use it will help you with it. It's really intuitive on how to use. And like I said, I think one of the biggest ways you can use the tool is do a stream of consciousness. Like, get onto your recording software. You're all dolled up. Get on there and just talk. Give yourself like five topics, go through, talk about those five topics, dump that into Descript, break that into five pieces of whatever. and then upload them wherever you want them to be, and then go from there and do it again, and then do it again and see what happens. You know, that's the best piece of advice I can give.
And find her and use her as a resource, because I did, and it was literally life-changing.
Still can't believe it was all because we couldn't just give enough room.
Literally. I said I'm not good at tech, and I meant it.
I know, isn't that funny? We work in tech, but we're not good at tech.
Yeah. No, thank you. Okay, so we've got people listening. They're like, you know what? I'm going to do it. Like, they're getting into it. They're going through. They're doing the thing in Descript, and then they publish it, and then they learn how to distribute that content. How do you know it's working? How do you measure the impact of your personal branding and this content with your agency success?
Part of it comes down to engagement. Are people engaging with it? Are people, I don't ever go with views and reach, although, I mean, I'm one of those people that love to see that number go up, but no, it's just a vanity number. You know, when you're looking at that, are people engaging with you? I think somebody, I asked this question on my LinkedIn the other day, and somebody said, I measure by my DMs.
Oh.
How many DMs am I getting from the content? And I think that's a really great measure too, is how much of that's really coming through. From that perspective too, I think some of it's hard because we do feel like we're talking into a void. And a lot of that has come down to so many people do not engage with content anymore. So you have to really have a resilience mindset in what you're doing and realize that it probably is going to feel like you're talking to the void, but people will engage when they're ready to engage with you. And I think the best thing that we can do to see if it's working is to constantly be offering up other ways for people to engage with you, not just on a social post. So, you know, what else are you offering? What else is your agency offering? What downloads do you have? Or what workshops are you running? Or what thing are you doing? I have one client who, I mean, if I could have a million of her, I would love it. She just has everything down, like in that funnel, from her podcast goes right into what she's offering that month, into this, into that. And you can see her audience engages so well with all of it. And she's always one of those ones with ManyChat. ManyChat's another one too, by the way, for automations and stuff. There's other versions of it, but where you can say, hey, like drop this in the comments, drop this in the, and I will send you XYZ. That can work out really brilliantly because it feels a little less intimidating. Like I have to come up with something to say in your comments. Like, all right, I want this thing here. You know, I'm going to drop sales plan and then off it goes. So finding other ways to engage with that. But I think a lot of times what you're going to find with a lot of the content to know if it's working is going to be, are you hearing people talk about it? Are they engaging with it? Are you going to hear eventually, like when you do offer something, somebody is like, oh my God, I've been listening to you forever. And I'm so glad I now have the chance to talk to you. That being said, make sure you're offering something. Not all the time. Don't become that person. But have something. Like, I think that's one of the things we miss as personal brands is that we get out there, we think so much like we've got to put out all of the good stuff.
Yes.
But then we don't give people anywhere to go. All we do is we leave them with like, hey, hang out with me on LinkedIn for a while. And okay, they're going to hang out with us on LinkedIn. But if they don't know how to work with you, if they don't know why to work with you, then they're not going to. So make sure you're giving them a reason to continue going into your funnel.
Yes. Okay. So going off of that, I have to say, so when I started planning out the Brooke Bites document, right, I kind of pick a subject. It's 2 minutes or less, you know, with the intro and everything. It's usually three. So it's really tight. So I have to really know what I'm trying to say. I made by myself, very proud of myself, I made myself include a CTA that matched whatever it was I was talking about. So maybe it's my book or maybe it's, you know, our free course or whatever, whatever. But then Christina Garnett, love her, shout out. She told me that I needed to add a humble brag into every episode because I needed to be Brooke more out loud, which we talked about the other day. And the humble brag could be something like, you know, I think on the first Brooke Bites I said, which was all about social media customer care, we've never had a social media customer care churn in the 6 years we've been doing
it. Oh yeah, I did hear that. I remember you saying that.
So it was a humble brag, but not a brag.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So that would be my tip to you. When you're figuring out your content, what kind of humble brag, because this is meshing that content together, the brand and then the personal, you being the face of the brand, that helps mesh that together. And then the call to action, like you said, give something people to do. Right? Because a lot of people may be interested in watching your video or you're listening to your podcast, but interest doesn't equal intent, which is another Brooke Bite that I did. And so if they do have intent and you give them that call to action and they take that step, now you have an intent signal, right? So yeah, just, oh God, I wish this show was 3 hours long.
Not sure your listeners do.
But we have to end somewhere. I know, right? That would probably be a little long for you guys, but I could talk to you forever, Sarah. Last question. What are you working on? Where can people find you? How can they book time so that you can show them how to expand the menu into script? All those things.
All right. So you can find me on my very truncated website at Sarah Scott Studios, or I'm mostly on LinkedIn. So find me on LinkedIn as Sarah Scott. You'll find me out there. I'm hanging around. I will be launching my podcast probably sometime in the next month or so, where we are going to be spending more time with fabulous podcasters like Brooke to learn more about what they do, why they do it, the styles that they use to help other business owners look to inspire them into getting into doing their own podcast. I'll be talking more about our strategies behind how we break up content, what we look for, how to look at the analytics, all of that fun stuff.
Which it really is fun stuff, because I feel like I'm like, as soon as I have a show, my own show, I'm hiring you. You know what? Somebody actually said, I don't know if it was you, so it may not count, but somebody said on one of the Brooke Bites, like, when are you making this a podcast? And I was like, oh no, don't let Sarah see that.
I think I said that from the moment I met you last year. Like, when are you going to have your own podcast?
I know you did. So
I've just been patiently waiting for Brooke to decide she's going to have her own podcast.
Well, for now, this is my home and I love it so much. This was so good.
Yeah, I know. They're good conversations. Yeah.
Yeah. Loved having you on. Thank you for sharing like all of that amazing wisdom and knowledge that you've collected. And I cannot wait until your podcast comes out.
Yeah. Well, you'll know because you're going to be on it.
Yay. All right, everybody, we'll see you soon. And make sure you check out the show notes, which exists on the YouTube channel for this show, where we will list all of those amazing tools that Sarah mentioned. See y'all next time.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening. If you're new to the show, be sure to follow us. If you've been a longtime listener, let your friends know about the show. I'm at Brooke Sellis on Instagram and Twitter. And for fun, make sure you tag at SM Examiner. Also, be sure to check out our other shows, the Social Media Marketing Podcast and the Social Media Marketing Talk Show. This brings us to the end of this week's Marketing Agency Show. We'll catch you next week as we explore the adventures of marketing agency life.
The Marketing Agency Show is a production of Social Media Examiner.
Want more good stuff? Sign up for our top-notch social marketing newsletter. We deliver it straight into your inbox 3 days a week. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates.